This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad that you've tuned us in. Now, you'll be listening to this on the 4th of July weekend, so I may have some new listeners, and I may have lost some listeners. I've been going through the biographies of some of the prominent men in the Old Testament, and we've looked at David, and we're looking at Solomon now. We looked at many of the prominent men in Genesis when we went through the book of Genesis. But today, rather than continuing on with the wisdom of Solomon, as I will do next time, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a couple of verses that are extremely important to me, and I think they're appropriate for this Labor Day weekend. Now, again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program, and you can re-listen to this program on my website, and you can read a weekly meditation there if you would like. Now, the verses that I'm thinking of in particular is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. They say, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of His Word. Now, on the 4th of July weekend, many families get together. They enjoy fireworks. They enjoy picnics. And in Iowa, at least, I believe this weekend is going to be a beautiful weekend. I myself am going to be in the Denver, Colorado area, enjoying time with some of my family out there. That is, I'm going to be there in the will of the Lord. Now, we all enjoy time with family, and then we like to reflect on what we have in this country. And we're going through a political campaign now that is very divisive. And we know that there's a lot of differing opinions as to who can best run our country. Many people would suggest that none of the candidates that are running are really the candidates they would like to have running. And yet we are reminded that from the standpoint of our national, at least our national political system and our state governments, that our answers, the answers to our problems are not going to be found in those governments. Oftentimes, Christians look at the United States as though it were the kingdom of God on earth. And while the United States was founded on Christian principles and has had a reverence for the Christian God, actually the Judeo-Christian God down through the years, and while that has stabilized us and blessed us, yet we are not the kingdom of God on earth. The kingdom of God is coming. But yet there is a sense in which we can enjoy the kingdom of God today. The Lord was, when he was before Pilate, was asked if he was a king, and he made it clear that he was a king, but his kingdom was not of this world. He says, "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." And he never asked his servants to fight for his kingdom at the present time. And we know that there is a kingdom that is coming. In the Sermon on the Mount, we have a prayer, a pattern prayer that says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Now, that kingdom is going to come in a physical way one day. It's going to be at the second coming of our Lord. The Bible speaks of two comings. The first coming was for the Lord to come and die. He came as a suffering Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The first time the Lord came to fulfill that prophecy and other prophecies like it. But he's coming also to fulfill the prophecies having to do with the physical kingdom that he is going to set up one day, the righteous kingdom, the millennial kingdom, the kingdom that we read about at the end of the book of Genesis. And we know that before that kingdom is set up, there's going to be trying times politically on this earth. And while the United States is not the kingdom of God on earth, yet that kingdom can be enjoyed in a spiritual way when we come to the Lord Jesus. He says, "My kingdom is among you." Where the Lord is, that's where the kingdom is, because the kingdom is always associated with the King. And for those of us who have acknowledged the Lord Jesus as our King, we enter in to that kingdom spiritually. And that kingdom, I believe, is also represented by the actual church of God on this earth. I'm not talking about the Christian church as it's been manifested to the world in Christendom. I'm talking about the church that is the body of Christ, that consists of believers who have repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and who gather together in a systematic way, honoring the customs, honoring the ceremonies that are laid out in the New Testament, and preaching the gospel in a clear way. That church is representative of the kingdom of God on earth. And when we begin to try to use the political system to advance the kingdom of God on earth as though the United States were that kingdom, I often wonder why the pastors and religious leaders that are doing that don't understand that judgment begins at the house of God. And that means that we in the house of God, the church of God, we need to clean up our act. We can't force the unbelievers in the United States to act like believers, but we can preach the gospel to them. But we who claim to be believers should certainly act like believers. Today, the gospel has been cheapened so that people are told that if they just pray a prayer and invite the Lord into their heart, they're Christians. But the Bible never, ever uses that method to bring people to the Savior. The gospel is always preached. Faith then comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, and a convicted lost sinner, when they get to the point where they realize they can't save themselves, then and then only will they turn to the Lord and trust Him. And when they trust Him, they get this peace that comes with entering into a spiritual kingdom that, in fact, is the kingdom that the Lord offers them. And that's why the Lord gives this invitation: come to me. Don't come to people of this world. Don't come to those who are not taking you to the Word of God. Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and every one of you who is hearing my word today, you're either saved and you have that kind of peace, or you're unsaved and you're uncaring and you have that kind of peace, or you're unsaved and concerned about it and you need peace. And I hope that you either have the peace that is represented, that is offered in this verse, or if you don't have it, that it concerns you, and that even today you will repent, that is, change your mind about what saves, change your mind about what sin is, change your mind about the truth of Scripture, change your mind about whatever is keeping you from trusting the Lord, and trust Him, because I will guarantee you it will give you a peace that passes all understanding. And then you will be truly independent on this day. It seems as though we obtained independence from England back over 200 years ago, but did we really get independence in the sense that we want it? If you talk to the right-wing politicians, they say we're losing our freedoms. You talk to left-wing politicians and they say that our freedoms have to be measured against our good, the good that we can do for mankind, and they all want to do it politically, when in fact we ought to individually have a conscience about these things and act like Christians individually, and then we wouldn't need to be arguing about these things in the political sphere, because we would be loving our neighbors as we should and would be loving God. And that's really the crux of it, isn't it? Do we love God or do we love ourselves? Do we love God or do we love some idol that keeps us from God? Do we love self more than we love God? And when we repent and believe, we come to understand that the Lord, the meek and lowly one, is the one who really loves us, and then we love him because he first loved us. And he offers us peace, and we get independence from the burden of sin. And yes, before we are saved, sin should bother us. And after we're saved, we have a conscience about sin that we never had before. We're not sinless, but we certainly should be sinning less. We're independent from legalism and from a works-based kind of salvation that will never give us peace. If we were saved based on what we did for God, we'd never know if we did enough, and we might screw up at the end of our life and be lost forever anyway. But we're not saved that way. We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus, and we're saved from all of men's burdens and legalism and works. And we're independent now from the God of this world. In Romans 6, we realize that we were servants of sin, that is, servants of the God of this world, slaves to Satan before we were saved. But after we are saved, we are freed from that slavery, and we are free now to serve the risen Lord. We don't serve out of duty. We serve out of devotion. So we have true independence, and that leaves us with total dependence on a good God. And while there will be times in a Christian's life when they will wonder whether God has forsaken them, and they'll wonder about his plan, they'll wonder about his purposes, and they'll wonder about the path he has chosen for them in this life. They'll wonder, like Mary and Martha and Lazarus in Luke or in John chapter 11, they'll wonder about the delay of the Lord in coming to his friend. And they'll even go so far as to criticize the Lord, saying, "If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And then when we see that the Lord's plan is better than anything we thought he should do, that our plan was not as good as the Lord's plan. Our plan involves saving and healing Lazarus. The Lord's plan involved raising him from the dead. And when we understand that, we'll again have our confidence in the Lord renewed in a practical way, and we'll live our lives independent of confidence in self, and we'll have our confidence in the Lord. And I hope that there's been a day in your life when you've been set free from sin, and when you truly became independent of the God of this world, and when you began to enjoy a life of freedom, a life that gives you the freedom to serve the Lord acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson. Bless the people who are enjoying this 4th of July weekend and yet who took time out to listen to this program. We just pray for thy blessing upon this country. We thank thee for thy word, for thy son, and for thy salvation. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.